Chapter 94. Over Celeste's desk was a framed saying that read, "You can't reminisce if you don't remember anything." Most people ignored the sign. Ron was the only one who saw the immediate humor. She looked at his picture on her desk, tanned and kneeling with his arm around Keats. Her men. Her program was full, and she had a waiting list. The beauty of this was Celeste could now do whatever she pleased with her workday. She had contacted her farm, and they were arranging a small luncheon and trip through the corn maze before they closed it down and started bringing in the Christmas trees. It was a good time of year for her clients. The cold had not yet taken its yearly toll on them. They were already dressed for winter and talking about Thanksgiving. Celeste's phone rang. "Sunrise Social Center, this is Celeste Tuck."
"Celeste, I'm so happy to finally talk to you. I called last week, but you were on vacation. This is Nancy Atwood from the Alzheimer's Foundation. I've listened to your radio series with Franklin Fevel. You have a strong radio voice."
"Thank you," said Celeste. She could not imagine this woman sitting around the radio in the middle of the day listening to Franklin Fevel's show.
"How did you hear those shows?"
"I've heard a tape of all three, and I'm wondering if you would like to do some work with us," said Nancy. "To begin with, we'd like to meet you. I don't think that at present it would interfere with what you are doing, but I know that you must be quite busy." Celeste was grinning broadly on the other end of the phone.
"I would like that. I have the greatest respect for the Alzheimer's Foundation."
"Let's have tea," said Nancy Atwood. Celeste wandered out to the main room in time to see chair yoga. Judy Campbell was bent over a straight-backed chair, wearing yoga pants with her ample rump raised into the air.
"Today, we're going to tighten our butts," said Judy. "You just squeeze and release," she demonstrated.
The women looked horrified and amused. The men were smiling. Celeste turned on her heel to go back into the office. Perhaps Sally Winter would be a better choice to lead chair yoga. Her telephone rang. It was Marjorie.
"Hi, Margie. How are you feeling?"
"Oh, Celeste." Marjorie said her name, making it a familiar form of possessive and plural that sounded almost like baby talk. It was Marjorie's term of endearment.
"I'm just cold all the time."
"Is George giving you a hard time about the heat?" said Celeste.
"He's a cranky old bastard. He's been a cranky old bastard for his entire life. I can't stand a look at him."
Marjorie was in venting mode. She was safe until the venting got around to Ron. Maybe she could keep that from happening.
"At least you have Bumpy there."
"Thank the Lord for Bumpy," said Marjorie. She never used the name Jesus Christ in exclamation. That's what Catholics did.
"I would be crazy in a padded room without Bumpy. Who would I talk to? I could have just as two-sided a conversation with a squirrel, and the squirrel would make more sense."
This went on for a little while.
"What are you and Ronald having for dinner?"
"He won't be home tonight. He'll be getting something on his own," said Celeste, thinking about a chicken pot pie that she could share with Keats and enjoy without his obvious disdain for anything chicken.
"Why does he hate chicken so much?"
"He always hated chicken soup. He claimed that the skin was slimy and the meat was dry," remembered Marjorie.
"He still says the same thing," said Celeste. One of her favorite meals had always been a roasted chicken.
He would always eat it, but never ask for it. When they still needed the money, it was a cheap two-dinner cook. But he turned his nose up at anything that was a leftover now.
"He's a stubborn man, Celeste. He's like his father," declared Marjorie, whenever she was putting out one of Ron's less desirable traits.
"You can be a little stubborn, too," teased Celeste gently.
"When I'm right, of course I am. Everyone should be. But when I'm wrong,
I have to admit that, too. I saw that George would be a good provider, and I was right about that. But he's a miserable, old, greedy bastard, and he'll live forever.